In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has come for us, a light to shine into the darkness, dear fellow redeemed. You arrive to the Christmas party, and when you get there, you're a little bit late. You're looking around the room to try to find somebody to talk to, and you find a group of people that you know you'll fit in with. So you start to mingle. But all the while, there's something over your shoulder. A whisper over your shoulder that keeps getting your attention. There's a group of people over there, and they're looking at you. And there's a murmur. And you start to get the sneaking suspicion that they're talking about you. You get that uneasy feeling that they know something that you don't know. And it makes you suspicious. Uncomfortable. You speculate about what's going on. It's that experience of being left out. Worrying that you've been made a fool of. Is your hair out of place? Did you spill something on your pants? Is there a rumor going around that you're not aware of? It's that uneasy feeling that they know something you don't know. And here we are, a small group of people who've come to celebrate Christmas. But all the while, out there in the world, there are whispers. People talking about us, as if they know something that we don't know. Wondering what we're doing here today in this little group of people to talk about what happened so long ago. That child, the shepherds, the angels, the stories, are they real? And we start to wonder. It's at times like this, when the suspicion is building, the speculation, the mistrust, that God drives out our worries and puts something else in its place. We're concluding today our series on Jesus Christ, the light of Christmas. And today, God gives birth to light. A light that in many ways is hidden, and yet comes to us today in our small little group to reveal what is really going on. Our text comes from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. This word of God was spoken for you today. John writes to a first century world that was familiar with speculation. John writes to a group of people who were also hearing many whispers, many rumors. In John's day, it was called Gnosticism. It comes from the Greek word gnosis, which gives us our English word knowledge. And Gnostics were a group of people who taught that there was some higher knowledge out there. That the things you were hearing in the Bible, or what you imagined Christ to be in Bethlehem, was really not enough. That there was a higher spiritual experience for you. And so they imagined there was a light in every one of us, a spark of some hidden truth that you just had to discover to be truly enlightened. So you might have heard about writings like the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Philip, or maybe you've heard of the movie The Da Vinci Code, which speculates about who Jesus really was and who his mother Mary really was. The Gnostics taught that there was an enlightenment that could happen within each of you. And they didn't trust anything that was of the material world. The spoken word, Jesus having an actual body. They imagined Jesus to be a spirit who was just trying to escape this material world. But of course, John doesn't believe this. Instead, he writes his gospel to show us, first of all, in the beginning there was the Word, a concrete and reliable spoken word from God. And not only that, but that Word, which brought life into this world, was actually God. That God was both speaking the Word and He was the Word, and there was life. All things were made through that Word, and that Word was God. Something that you can't speculate about, because it's a spoken word from God. But now we start to get suspicious. After all, when God said, "Let there be light," it was on the first day, wasn't it? But we hear these whispers over our shoulders. God didn't create the stars until the fourth day. How could he have created light on the first day if the stars weren't created into the fourth day? And we start to wonder if this creation account can really be trusted. Can we really trust what is written in Genesis? There's all sorts of speculations even today in the classroom, in the laboratory. Much of it is the product of the Enlightenment of the 17th century and the 18th century. We've been talking about the Enlightenment and how it's brought many blessings to us in terms of science and education. But it's also brought much mistrust. Isaac Newton was one of the first to start to really bring to science a reason to understand the world in terms of logic and testable proof. It was very valuable to think of science in terms of what we can test and what we can prove, what we can repeat, the experiments we can do. And it brought a lot of advances in terms of school and in terms of science. The problem was when this made its way over into the realm of religion. And people started looking for something provable. What is being taught in our classrooms today? Did God really create the world? Could he really have spoken of light on the first day and stars on the fourth day? Where's the test and where's the proof? On down through the years, we get this suspicion about God. And not only creation, but what about the incarnation? What about God becoming man, giving birth through a virgin? And those whispers come over our shoulders. It's foolishness. It troubles us. Rationalism is the voice on your shoulder, the whisper in your ear, making you wonder if it's real. What difference has God made in the world? What difference has it made in your life? And we start to look for things that we can trust, and we find there's very little. Out front of church here, we have security lights that we put on every evening. Even when there's no church, we turn those lights on. Even when there's no one here, we turn those lights on. Now, why do we have security lights? Well, it's because thieves don't like to work in the light. Thieves don't like to have their work be seen. So we keep the lights on all the time. Light shows what's really going on. And when that light comes on the thief, he doesn't like it. The word suspicion comes from a Latin word meaning mistrust. We start to wonder as things get exposed who we can really trust to show who we really are. Who can we really trust After all, where has trust gotten you? Let down? Do you trust your government? Do you trust your church? Do you trust your family? Now, when God comes along, who you can't see at all, and tells you, trust me, where does that leave us? And so John writes in chapter 3, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For no one practicing evil goes to the light. They hate the light, lest their works should be exposed. The light brings awareness of who we really are, but it also brings awareness of who Jesus really is and who God really is. For John, light and darkness is not about science, it's about revelation. This theme of light throughout John's gospel is all about revelation. And against the Gnostics, he's saying that the light doesn't come within you. And against the rationalists, he says the same thing, that the light won't come from within us. Instead, the light shines in the beginning, the light shines in the darkness, and the light shines today. The light shines in Bethlehem, but not in a way that we can prove or test. It's a light of revelation. And we know that revelation comes from God, to reveal who God really is. And so John goes on to say, and that word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And a light is born. The only way to know who God truly is to know the incarnation. That the word which was spoken at the beginning became flesh. That God became flesh. Actual material. Actual skin. Actual blood. Actual pain. That we see him humble in the form of a servant, in the form of one who suffers, in the form of a dying criminal, in the form of a crucified Savior for us. Because that is how we know who God is. When we look upon the baby in Bethlehem, and when we see that baby, we see God humbled for us. A light of revelation is born, that God would become human to suffer and to save us. That light is born in Bethlehem. Something to be trusted and not proven. Something which brings us unseen realities of righteousness, of forgiveness, of peace with God eternally. So Jesus will say in John chapter 12, if I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Walk in the light while it is still day, lest the darkness overtake you. I am the light of the world. Walk in the light, and you will become sons of light. He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And that is the light that is born in us today. They keep on looking at you from around the room. And you hear their whispers. You get that sneaking suspicion, that mistrust about what's going on. But you decide to turn your attention back to the people you're talking to. And you become engaged with that small little group of people. Your brothers, your sisters, and even Christ himself, gathered here in this group. The conversation gets interesting. It captivates your interest. You want to talk more, you want to hear more, and pretty soon you're so captivated that you discover the group isn't as small as you thought it was. That there in that little group of Christians, you have shepherds. You have angels. You have Mary, you have Joseph. You have believers throughout the world who are sharing the same conversation. And you become so intrigued, so filled with excitement and joy at what is happening, that you don't even hear the whispers anymore. You don't hear the rumors out in the world because you're captivated by the Word made flesh, where Jesus is in the midst of this group talking, teaching. And pretty soon those other people who were once so suspicious of what's going on are suddenly interested. And someone comes over and asks, "What are you talking about?" And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness does not comprehend it. That was the true light, giving light to every man coming into the world, a light born for us. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with hymn 87, Joy to the World.